for that. Thank you, sweetheart. I'll sing next time. I had a song that I wanted to sing. But an old professor told us, he said, boy, there's two things. Stay ready to preach and ready to die. And by the grace of God, that's what I've tried to do. Oh, now, there has been times I called on to preach. I think I'd have been better off dead. I'm not sure. But I was working here on a little message here not long ago, and I put it together, and I began to read and study some things and add in there some actually happenings that happened to me. Take your Bible, if you will. The Gospel according to St. Mark. The Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 4, if you please. The Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 4. And the same day when the evening was come, he saith, that's Jesus, saith to them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. I ain't never found out where they went. I have no idea where they went. I don't know where the sharks ate them, what happened to them, but I don't know where they are. It's about it. But anyway, verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat in the ship so that it was now full. And Jesus, he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, careth not that we perish. And he arose and rebuked the wind and saith unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? I want to speak tonight for a few minutes after I pray. Father, I'm here at one of the greatest churches tonight, with one of the most precious preachers that I've met in my life. I love him as a brother, as a preacher, and as a real honest man. And the precious people that I've met here, the people that's come to me tonight and spoke to me. Lord, how I love them, how the friends and the young choir, how they got up here and sang from right out of the heart. The two young ones that sang over at the piano, Lord, what a blessing that is. What a blessing that is. But I sat and looked at them and I said, I wonder what the future holds. I know who holds the future. So now, Lord, let me somehow have unction from on high. Open the hearts and the minds of the people that have come to this place this night. Lord, without unction, without the Spirit of God upon me, I'll be a tinkling cymbal and a sounding brass. So tonight, anoint me afresh. In Jesus' name, save the soul. I pray for one that's away from God. I pray for the sick tonight, Lord. I pray for them. I know what that means. So, Lord, here I am tonight. Let me do my best. My old professor said, do your best. You may never get another chance. So Lord, that's what I want to do in Jesus' blessed, precious name. I want to talk to you a few minutes tonight when the storms of life are raging. I've been through my part of storms in my ministry of 37 and a half years at one old-fashioned church of 36 and a half years. And I've been through. I know what the storm of life. I've just coming through a storm now. I've been sick since I seen you, Brother Ray. I was going out of the house and there in the den, and I fell flat on my back. I'm 6 feet tall, and my head hit all the way down. A few days, I started having seizures, and the cabin found out that I had blood on my brain. They bored four holes in my head. Might have bored the hole, but it stopped the hole back up with bubble gum. I had a preacher in Monroe, North Carolina. They said they were hunting a brain and never did find one and just got disgusted and stopped the holes up. And I've had a lot of things to come my way. Little night, many a night, look back over the good days that I had. See, when we have a bad day, we forget about that good day we had back down young. I guess I didn't take an aspirin tablet until I was over 65 years old. Boy, I knew what it takes. And now then, if you hear something rattle, it's me, it's a pill box. I rattle like a pill box. My wife will set it down, take this. I hope nobody here don't tell her to give me a little red devil. I do. She would say, take this, it'll help you. And so that's what I do. I take this, bro, that's good. So I looked at that, and I said, life is a void that sometimes calm and sometimes eventful. But at the other times, it's racked by trial and to make this journey successful. Hey, don't you worry about that boat going under when Jesus is in it, my friend. Your problem is going to be if you're battling that thing alone. And Jesus in the boat, and these boys got the devil scared out of it, and they're about to wake him up back there, and knowing he's in the boat all the time. And I looked at that, and I said, when the storms of life are raging, here's what, number one, what you need to do. You need to take the Christ as your captain. If the Christ is the captain of your boat, honey, she'll sail through the storm. She might rock, she might wave, she might go this way and that way. But thank God, if he's in the boat, you ain't got nothing to worry. Lay down and go to sleep with him. Hey, are you listening to me tonight? I thought about that as I looked and said, it became him to make the captain of our salvation perfect through suffering. You find out of Hebrews 2:10. Christ is our captain. He keeps the soul when the billows roll. Hey, are you listening to me? When the storms come, when the lightning is flashed, when you don't know which way to go, if you just stay where put, he'll belong as well. Let me tell you this. When I was a young Christian, I was 3 months old. I had a great teacher. He's in heaven tonight. Hadn't been for him, I don't know where to be tonight. But he would take us boys out, right, and in the home, where the sick home. People sit shut and he takes out. Well, he was a great teacher. And he come to me on a job one day, said, Brother Fleming said, we're going to Brother Wren's tonight. And I said, great, I'm glad. I want to hear you teach this. I ain't going to be teaching. You're going to bring the devotion. I only been saved 3 months. Didn't know nothing about the Bible. I didn't know what devotion was. Somebody eat, rubbed it on, or run. I didn't know what to do with devotion. I said, what is the devotion? He said, you'll read a verse of Scripture and tell us what you think about it. I'll never forget it. So help me God, I'll never forget it. We went to Mr. Wren's house. His wife was in bed, eat up. Back then was rheumatism. There was no such thing as arthritis. It was rheumatism. And it's the hottest day in August, and she had to have a fire. And back in those days, the cotton mill house, they had little grates and had coal, burned coal. I had my first suit of clothes ever bought. It was pure virgin wool, double-breasted. They set that Bible stand up here, and stupid me got right up here, and here's this fire right back here, and here's the seat of my britches right back here. And the hotter that fire got, and I was too stupid to move, and I could smell them lambs start crying and the sheep start bleating, and I wouldn't move. I just stood there and went ahead, and I don't know what I said. God in heaven knows I don't know what I said, but I just stood there. But here's what I want to tell you. After it was over, after it's all over with and my seat of my britches kind of cooled down and the fire went out and all that, went on. That little old man that looked like he'd been wormed, ought to have been wormed, little old scrawny fella, he come humming up to me and said, the teacher told me you've only been saved about 3 months. He said, Jesus carried into his arms now, but he's going to set you down out there and you're going to have to walk by faith, not feeling or sight. I thought to myself, old man, I'm so far ahead of the devil, he won't know which way I went. Here's what he said. He said, if you ever come to a place in your life, you can't get over, you can't go around, again, just stay put. Jesus will be along after a while. Oh, my soul. Hey, how many times have I been there in my ministry when I'd cry myself to sleep at night and I could hear the words of that old man, just stay put, he'll be along after a while. Hey, and when he shows up, thank God, you feel like you walk across hell on a rotten cornstalk and charge the devil with a water gun. Hey, come into me. Hey, I done got too far gone now to convince otherwise. I'm glad the church is where I love to come with people, and I like to see them smile every once in a while. I looked at that, and then I said, take Christ as your captain. Not only that, I said, when the storms of life are raging, take the Bible as your chart. King James Version. King James Version. This crowd now, these praise crowds, one Bible this time and one of another, and I thought to myself, it was good for Grandma, Grandpa, bless God and all the rest. They said they can understand this one, but I said, no, bless God, it ain't what they can't understand, it's what they do understand. And they've changed it around to just hang on to the old King James book. Grandpa went to heaven on it, Grandma went to heaven on it. Thank God, and why swap her off? I looked at it, but then I said, take the Bible as your chart. Thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto my path. You'll find that in Psalm 119:105. The word of God is a Christian sharp to arrive safely in heaven. For we must follow the Bible route. Thank God that we arrive in heaven to good at the devil. You said I wasn't going to make it, but I did make it home. Hey, I got too much invested there now. I got a mama, a daddy, a one brother, two sisters. And the night I believed, they could look down over the pole to go and say, Mama, look at brother still at. My mama told me years ago, she said, son, can't you slow down? You're going to wear out. I said, Mama, I'd rather wear out than to rust out. And I said, Mama, I ain't got but two gates that's dead still wide open where I could go. I mean, I can't handle a preacher that stop and study and clear his throat and blow his nose and we never point. But anyway, I looked at that and I said, not only that, take the Bible as your charge, but take the Holy Spirit as your comfort. Lord, help us all. Oh, God. Preacher, I went to Clemens, South Carolina, to a little old cinder block church with a few mad people. I mean, mad as a devil. I mean, they're mad. And man, I'm running wide open. I'm like 36 years old yet. And some of the mad people that left there would come back, and I didn't know them. I didn't know them. And I'd go down and shake hands with them, people, you know, and some of the older men, they'd stand between me. And I said, hey, look, he said, no, you don't need to shake hands with them people, they're full of hell, and you don't need to bother them people. You just stay up here, we'll take everything to go. And Lord God, it scared me to death. I said, Lord, you put me here, now what we going to do about it? Lord worked it out, he moved every one of them out. And I stayed 37-odd years. Oh, what a happy time to live for God. A great time to live for God. Lay down at night on your preacher and say, Lord, ain't no use of me and you both sitting up. You said I'll watch over you while your son's asleep. I'm going to bed and I'm going to sleep. But many times I would get up, preacher, walk to that little old block church, and go out there and go in. Nothing but the outside life. And I'd kneel down on there. I said, Lord, you put me here. I had never thought about being no pastor. I like to sing. I like to preach. I like to go into the house. And Lord, and it felt like I feel great big arms come around me. Oh, and a deep, settled feeling would come over me. And I'd jump up, thank God, and I'd start preaching to not a soul in the church but me. And I'd just start preaching, God Almighty. I said, when you take the Holy Spirit as you're coming, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. John 16:13, the Holy Spirit guides Christians safely through this life. He'll guide the total committed all the way in the truth. So, Father, come here. We had, when I was coming on the farm, we were so poor, they spelled poor with four zeros. And if it hadn't been for our chickens and cows and hogs, we'd have starved to death. I ain't lying to you. We'd have starved to death if it hadn't been for that. And I remember we had the possum, we'd possum. Every time I see one on the side of the road now, I get hungry. You ever know, you never seen a possum frown, he's smiling all the time. He knows something we don't know. And we're possum hunting. I remember one night, Daddy was finding a tractor, and he could tell about how big one was. If he could lay a match stick down between this toe and this one, he could pretty well tell about the possum went. Well, he said one night we were sitting there by the fire, I said, boy, we're going to get that big one tonight. Man, I was warm then. I'd eaten parched peanut. Yes, sir, Daddy called me. Oh, God, help me. 2:00 in the morning, he coming to his son. I said, yeah, time to get up. Oh, Lord, time to get up. So we got up. We didn't have no carpet. Heated the water in the kettle on for the fire. Had to wait for the drug to settle in. Now, you city boys don't know about this. I don't know if we need to know about it or not. But anyway, he poured me out a half a cup of that black coffee. And I didn't like coffee. I like cow milk, but I didn't like coffee. But I went and I got it down, and I, I don't know what made me drunk or whether I woke up or what, but anyway. I always carried a lantern. I carried a flashlight in the sack. He carried the lantern and the axe. Preacher, I'll never will forget this. I'm walking right behind him, you know, hoping and praying we won't hear the dog bark. And then we'll get to go back to the house. But after a while, one of them said, "Yoop, oh, oh." We had one bark going, "Oh." If he'd done that three times, I knew what Dad was going to do. He's going to race us out of place and build us a little fire. Going to do it. And my dad was smart to come there. He said, "Boy, that'd travel a long time." Said he'll probably run into deer. But here's what I'm going to tell you. I walk right along behind him. I try to step in his tracks, you know. Every time I try to step in his tracks. And when we come to a fireplace, he'd say, "Son, here, call up." I'd call up on my daddy's back like a big frog, you know. And he'd take them rubber boots, he'd wade through that water and get to where we go. Hey, I thought, thank God, when God saved me, I said, I'll follow him. But many times, he said to take me in his arm and lift me up and carry me through when the storms of life are raised. He'd carry me through. And I'm glad he's never let me down. He's never will let me down. And I'll be looking for you when the gates open wide. Hey, when the old ship was on anchor in the harbor of love, I'll look for you being on there, because of grace of God. But not only that, I said, take the Holy Spirit as you come, but I said, take faith as your cable. Lord, help us all. Something happened today, about a while when I was talking, she said, "Oh, you have a little faith." I said, 10-4, over and out. People got mean as the devil now. They'll kick your door in. And us old folk, they think we're half crazy anyway, just because we're white-headed and soup-shouldered. And I'm riding my lawnmower. If you look in my right hind pocket, there's a .38 revolver back there. Some fellow about hunting me one day stopped up there and said, "Where does Preacher Fleming live?" Said, "Go down that road. You'll see him on a lawnmower. If he's a hump in his hip pocket, that's his .38 revolver." I mean, that's just the way it happens, and that's just the way it's going to be. And so, therefore, I like to keep one. My wife said, "Why do you carry your Bible and your .38 revolver?" I said, "Sometimes my face will weak." Thank God, I tell how simple it is. I get mad at them. Think about it. Down in the lower part of Charlotte, North Carolina, the folks in our church, precious people, been there, I think, Mr. Church, or her mother was an old lady down there. Lived alone. All the kids was gone. Lived alone. And these two birds went to her home with rulers and things and said, "The government is improving and fixing your house." And all of a sudden, they got her mesmerized, and she missed one of them. And she couldn't see him, and she knew he had to be in her house. And she started to get up, and that low-down devil shoved her back, and she's about 80, near 90 years old, shoved her back down. The old folks used to have a word, preacher, "I shan't. I shan't do it." And he shoved her back down in that chair. And finally, when the boy come out of the bed, then he said, "We're going. We got all." And she went to the house, and it was the time that they knew that us old folks drawed our old age pension. And them low-down devil had went in there, found her pocketbook, and took every dime she had. And I thought about it. I said, if they was caught, they ought to be hung upside down and gutted and strangled on their own bum. I said that. I believe that. And that's why I don't want to never help me, but I hope I never have to pop a cap on them birds that come down the road and stand between me. That's just how simple it is. I mean, I'm not a mean man, and I just the way it is. But I'm glad that I was brought up like my mother and daddy wasn't Christian, but there was people that had principles. We didn't do nothing on Sunday that could be done on Monday or Saturday. We brought in the eggs, fed the chickens, slopped the hogs, milked the cows, what had to be done. We brought the stove wood in on Saturday. We didn't do that. I didn't know what the Bible was. All I knew, we'd sit around the fire. Preacher, here's what tears my nerves up. We didn't have nothing, nowhere to go. Live way back down yonder. And on cold winter days, you boys listen to this here. There wasn't no Shoney's, and there wasn't no Burger King. Wasn't none of that. We sit around that fire. Mama sat over here at this window. Daddy over here. And us four youngers rode around here sitting down on the bottom. We had a little chair to sit on. Nowhere to go. But we had love. There was love in our home. Mother would get us like an old monkey. You know, she'd look through our hair to see if she could find a chinch or a tick or something in our hair. And she'd put them down. And I got two little old moles right there. And she'd be worming over me. And she'd say, that's going to give him trouble when he grows up to start to shave. I thought, Mama, I ain't never going to shave. I thought I'd be little. But we had love. Had nowhere to go. No way to go. But and at the table at night, the old bench again. In the wall, and us two of us kids would get on that bench, and one would get down here, Daddy's here, and Mama's here, and she'd dump that good old cornbread cooked in a wood stove. If you electric mothers knew ever cooked a biscuit in a wood stove, and you boys ain't never eat one, you ain't never. Hey, the first time I seen a piece of cornbread cut, I thought, bless God, that's unpardonable sin. My mama would look at us and break it to size she knew that we could eat. Every time. And we'd cuddle up there. And then we'd go down and shut down the fire in there and just set the note. Later on in the year, we got a battery radio. Wasn't allowed to turn it on until all was in the house. And I never will forget, I was plowing at the back door, started plowing a mule when I was 8 years old. And a regular plowhand. And I couldn't bear going in the house. Mama was cooking dinner. I went in and I turned the radio on. And J. Harold Smith, Lord have mercy. It's like pouring peas in a tub. And I reached over to, and Harold was with me in the meeting, and I told him about this. I reached over to turn it off. He said, turn that radio off, go to hell if you want to. I said, Mama, you turn it off when you please. And I hit the door. I went back to plow. And I thought, dear God, I thought then, have mercy. So we was poor, but we had love. Mother loved us. Mother and daddy loved us. They weren't Christians, but they loved us. I didn't have to come out of a broke home. I didn't have to do that. Mama wasn't no cigarette-sucking poodle doll short-wearing mother. She was an old-fashioned mother that wore a checkered apron. When I left to come and went to Columbus, South Carolina, she always wore that old checkered apron. She'd come out, pull the tail out of it, boy. Her eyes, she said, son, I miss you. Because I'd go by and see Mama. Hey, if your mama's still living, bless God, you ought to see as often as you can, because one day you wish to God you had a amen right there. And y'all say amen, if done, I'm going to have to take me up an offer. Pull that tail up and wipe her face. Put her arm around me and kiss me. She'd always kiss me. Said, son, I'm going to miss you. I'll miss you coming by. I'd go every Sunday. She said, son, she'd always cook dinner on the old wood stove. Had her electric stove. But she cooked. And she said, I got you a chicken leg and a biscuit. Go on in there and get it and come on back out and let's talk. Hey, after a while, thank God, and I've sung my last song, preached my last message, and I reached heaven, my mama, I say, son, go on and get you a piece of that chicken. Come on, tell me to talk. My soul, that's enough to make a cat pray and pretend to keep the back out of his choir robe. And I looked at that, and I said, dear God, I take faith as and now faith is the substance of the thing hoped for, the evidence of the thing not seen. You find out in Hebrews 11:1. Our spiritual cable must be kept intact. Winds and waves cannot divert us from our course. Storm distress cannot destroy us if our cable is strong. Thank God, it's strong, just hanging there and believe everything going to come out right. Or somewhere down the road there. So I look when we take hope as our anchor. I looked at that and I said, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Let me give you this here. And we're going to the house. You're good. But I think we'll say amen once in a while. I like amens. I like them lifting the hands up in the Bible. Hey, the Bible said lift holy hands. I'm like that. When I got saved, my old priest, the Lord, I didn't know Methodist, Baptist. He said, I son, get in your good church. He didn't tell me. There were five churches all the time. Church of God. Methodist Church, Presbyterian, Baptist Church, Church got a prophecy. But most of the people I worked with went to the First Baptist Church. And that's where I went. I went to the First Baptist Church with the folks there. I loved them and everything. And I didn't know how to act. I mean, I really didn't. I didn't know how to act. Back then, men wore these old dollar and a quarter pocket watches. You could hear them things take thump, 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 thump. all over the building there. One day, one of the ladies had come up in the Christian home. She said, "Glory to God." And in that Baptist church, sound like you dropped a marble in a tin tub. God scared that crowd half to death. Now, I had never really got in then. And the people went rushing to her. And her daughter went. They said, "What's wrong with your mother?" She said, "Not a thing in the world. She's just full of God, and she can't leave her alone. She's not going to her." I thought about reading the story of her. This lady went to this old dry church. She's out of town visiting and went to an old dry church. And the preacher hit a joy chord. She said, "Glory to God." The usher went back and said, "Where'd you get that? You didn't get it here." She said, "I know I didn't." You? Well, she said, "We don't do that around here." She said, "Well, we're going to do it today." And that preacher hit another joy. She said, "Hallelujah." They had chairs in the church. And the usher went back. One got on one side, one on the other, went walking around the vestibule. She said, "Glory to God." They said, "What are you shouting about now?" She said, "My Lord wore into Jerusalem on one jackass and I'm riding out on two." I thought about that. I said, "Thank God for that." Now, early 1960, a friend of mine, a precious man, come out of the lower part of the country down yonder, down the water down yonder. Come to me one night, 10 o'clock, and church was over. And said, "Since you've worked hard, I preached at that time three times on Sunday and I organized the church during that time. Said, you've worked hard." And said, "Why don't you kind of take tomorrow off? Let's go fishing." I deep sea fishing. I didn't know what he was talking about. I said, "Great. It's 10 o'clock now." He said, "I'll pick you up at 4 o'clock. I said, "Say what?" "I'll pick you up at 4 o'clock. We're going to Merle's Inlet." Didn't know what to do. Well, I didn't sleep none the rest of the night. Worried about going, because the deep sea fishing, all fishing out there with a spring in the spring with a crooked pin catching them crayfish. I mean, I don't know what he's talking about. But when he came to me and said, "Let's go fishing in the morning," I lay awake all night. And so finally, we got loaded up and headed out to a place called Merle's Inlet. Got out there, and it was cracking day. People had gathered up all around. People had given me all kind of instructions. Take seasick pills. Don't eat nothing greedy. Don't stir the water. And all of this. And I was trying to do all them things. Well, after a while, that great big old boat, that thing, my soul hammer, must have been half this wide here. I never seen such a thing in my life. Two great big diesel engines down in here. And old Ed went up and got our, paid for our way and got everything, the chain crosser. So after a while, the captain of the boat took the chain down. Everybody aboard. Well, I reluctantly really got on board because I didn't look for it. I could see it was water. And they said, instructions, the gulls, you can feed them, but don't look up. I forgot and looked up. And then I remember what they said. Well, we got started out. Here I am on this great big boat. And the further out we go, I get what I can't say. And I thought, dear God, there's too much water to wade out, too much to drink, and I can't swim. And here I am. And I had forgot to kiss my wife. Oh. So here we go. Then I got well to remember it was our anniversary. Now then I got to wish I would drown. Bless God, I wouldn't have to go back and face what I went to face. But anyway, on the way out, that big ship done this. The man sounded the horn up there and said, "We got to wait for the tide." Well, I thought that a bunch of people got to wait out and get on the boat. I asked my friend, I said, "What's the tide?" He said, "After a while, there'll be a wave of water come in." He said, "We're hung on a sandbar. It'll lift us up, and we'll go." Well, I didn't see no wave, and I didn't see no tide. But after a while, they cranked her off, and here we go again. Man, we're sailing out through yonder. I mean, we're gone. I mean, we're flat gone. Well, after a while, he sounded the horn. He said, drop him in. Here's where we're going to fish. And man, I was catching them blackfish two at a time. Lord, have mercy. I mean, just catching them two at a time. And all of a sudden, the horn went off and said, we're going to anchor. There's a storm out yonder. And we've got to stay in one place to see which way she goes. Let me tell you something, child of God. Are you hearing me? When you're facing the storm of life, drop anchor, thank God, and stay where you go. A lot of people I met through my ministry didn't drop anchor. They went ahead and faced the storm. Drop anchor and wait for the tide. Wait for the sweet Holy Ghost to move on your soul. Thank God and lift you and keep you moving on. Hey, I went down that road. I've been there many, many times. One time I done packed my tool and I was ready to go back home and go to work in the cotton mill. But then I remembered that old preacher said, stay in one place, son. He'll be along after a while. Well, over the sound system came these words. We'll drop an anchor until we see which way the storm goes. Let me in my closing words tonight. Listen to me. When the storm of life is raging, just stand still. Stay put. Don't jump out of the boat. I had some people, some little flare come in the church, bless God, and they'd hit the road and they're gone. I don't want to be in no church like that. Hey, how you expect a church to be perfect when we're imperfect people making it up, saving right there? You'll only find what you left behind ain't nothing really new. It's a mark at the church when you leave the church. It might not be the church for it. It could be you. I never had this happen before. Man came to our church. Him and his wife said, way back yonder. Missed him. One said, what happened? He said, my wife don't like to come. I said, for what? Said, people shake her hands too much. Can you imagine that? If they had to shook a man, she'd have went home with like a lip dragging like a piece of raw liver. She didn't want to speak to me out of church. And I think like this sometimes would bother me, but I got immune to it, you know. I said, God called me to preach, and that's exactly what. And so I began to look at that, and over the sound system came these words, we're dropping anchor till it's which way the storm goes. Around 4 o'clock, now here's what I like. He sounded that horn. Said, reel them in. We're going home. Man alive, there was people on that boat, done turned green. They wouldn't vomit it up, they're outright puking. I mean, it hangs on. And I done what? I drank unsweetened juice. I didn't eat nothing greasy. I done everything that I wouldn't stir to water. And I'm looking at that crowd. One boy said, he's green. He done turned green. And I said to my friend, Ed, what in the world wrong with him? He done changed color since we come out here. He said, that boy is fixing to puke. And he did. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. But anyway, he shouted off and said, reel them in, we're going home. Listen to me. Listen, I started in this race. I was a young, ignorant boy, hoboed my way through school, fell in love with my third grade teacher, felt like shooting her husband. I found out she was married. Hey, had nothing, ain't nothing. But thank God, I'm glad for one thing. I'm glad that all the spaces are covered, and I'm heading home. Now then, I preached my mother's funeral, preached my daddy's funeral, preached my baby brother's sister, young, and preached to my sister's funeral. And the night preacher. They're sitting young, I believe. Let me believe. I believe in the portal of glory. And I'm sure all of you all here tonight has got a loved one in glory. Lift your hand. You got a loved one there, mother, dad, a child, a friend, or somebody. You got them there. And I believe tonight they're sitting there. And I believe Lib, my sister, said, and let me look at it, brother. He's still going wide open. But here's what. I went to school up here in North Carolina. And to go out of the way to see my mother and dad, had to get off a superhighway 26 and go all the way, which was 25 miles, and get on highway 25 and go. And oh God, I wish many times preachers that I took some more time. But many times, of course, them stupid professors would have a pop test. I mean, get everything off your desk but one half piece of paper and a pencil. And man, I just about faint because I've been preaching. I ain't studied about no test in no school. I guess that's where I flunked everything. But anyway, and get everything off your desk. We're going to have it. But many times I'd go by those precious memories. Precious memories. Daddy'd be sitting on the porch. They didn't have to move in with my sister. Had to break up a house. My mama said, you listen to me. My mama said, weeping, said the only reason that I don't want to, that I hate to break up home, housekeeping, I feel like I won't have no home for you youngest to come to. And I said, mama, wherever you are, we'll be home. And we'll be, I'd go by there sometime. I'd pull up in the yard. Daddy's sitting on the floor, maybe whittling. He'd get up. He'd say, boy, your mama must have said a half a dozen times, our boy might come by today. Go on in the kitchen where she is. Hey, I believe mama will look at Daddy and say, Jim, our boy might come home today. Our boy might come home today. And I believe every time the old ship of life anchors in the harbor, I believe mama would say, Jim, run and see if our boy's on that load. Hey, one day, thank God, I believe mama would run back and say, Jim, he's on there. He's on there. Hey, and what a time as I stand here tonight by faith and look up and see all them old saints of God that have went on over there. I'm glad one day, he's going to say, reel them in. We're going home. My last word, are you ready to catch the boat? Hell must be a terrible place. Come up with some of the song. In our church, over the years, God bless. I was taking up money one day. We had all buildings. We went in our brand new building, not a debt owed. And a man walked up to me and said, here's $1,000. Well, I said, when all bills are paid, let's put it in a building fund. So we're done. Here's $1,000. 2 weeks later, come back, here's another $1,000 on the new fellowship hall. Then he said to me, if you're not in no big hurry, preacher, I got a little money coming in pretty soon. I ain't no hurry. I'm going to hand me a check for $40,000. Now then he's grown old, and his mind's playing tricks on him. But he still knows what he's doing. His brother buried his brother, only one of them left, buried his brother Saturday. Asked him Wednesday night, I said, Jack, did your brother have a church life? Preacher, he's probably burning in hell now. Cussed every breath, cussed the church. And I said, dear God, hell must be a terrible place. Tonight, if you don't know this Jesus I've been talking about, we're home. One drop of water to cool my. I never, hardly ever, ever waste any water that I think about. Think about one drop of water on my parching tongue. And I wonder tonight, do you know him? Do you know tonight, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that your sin is under the blood? And when you breathe your last breath, heaven will be your home. If you're not tonight, while the good pastor stands at the pulpit here, come on, Brother Ray. Any doubt in your mind, the altar, thank God for a church that's got an altar. Or some loved one that you need to pray about, don't be bashful. Get up out of your seat. Walk down here. Tell God all about it. If you're not saved, somebody will help you. Young folks, God bless you. The best thing you'll ever do is take Jesus as your Savior at an early age. I wish to God, I would only say I'd never heard the gospel but one time, and I didn't know what that was until 20 years of age, 28 years of age. And I wished I could have got saved when like you kids sing in the choir, but I didn't. I showed a lot of wild love, and I never killed nobody. What harm I done to myself. And I wish these pictures hanging on the wall of my memory tonight that I wish wasn't up, but they're there. But I'm glad when the blood covered it all. And Jesus signed my pardon. This I surely know. Took my place on Calvary. Now I don't have to go. All my life I owe him. He gave his for me. When he signed my pardon, there at Calvary, your pardon been signed. Stand to your feet. Brother Ray will conduct the service. If any need, I'd like to see you come to the altar. I'd like to know that you know what this altar is paid for. Song leader, what you gonna say? God love you, God bless you. Whatever your need is, come down and tell him. Maybe tonight the storm of life is sweeping. You just like to come down. You just like to come down. The storm of life. Just come down. Remember, Brother Ray, sure.